For the past couple of years, my team at the START Center have been looking at the nexus of extremism in U.S. military service, and we've been particularly interested in what might distinguish individuals with service backgrounds who participate in mass casualty crimes from those who commit less serious forms of either violence or just property crimes, vandalism, financial crimes, things of that nature. And one of the things that we found in looking at what distinguishes these two populations from each other is that extremists with military backgrounds who plan to commit these large-scale attacks have a much higher rate of administrative and punitive discharges from the military than the general military population. So these would include things like dishonorable discharges as a result of a court-martial, but also things like entry-level separation. So individuals who fail to make it out of basic training and achieve veteran status in the military. What we found is that about 25% of extremists with military backgrounds who plot these mass casualty crimes received that type of discharge from the military, which is far higher than the rate of administrative or punitive discharges in the general military population.
Dr. Jensen, and bear with me with this question. Do you get the sense that in these cases, the military came first? Or the extremism came first and they got into the military and something. What's your view on that?
It's a mix. So we've now looked at about 700 cases of individuals with military backgrounds that radicalized to the point of committing extremist crimes. And we've asked this question, what was their level of radicalization when they joined the military? What was their level when they were active in the military? And what was their level of radicalization after they left? And what we have found is there are individuals that are affiliated with extremist groups and movements that then attempt to join the military to exploit the weapons training and other skills that they receive from military service, but they actually make up a very small percentage of extremists with military backgrounds. It's far more common for an individual to start to develop these beliefs while they're in the military after they join, and especially after they leave. About 75% of the cases that we've looked at are individuals that began the radicalization process after leaving the US military. And in most of those cases, they had been separated from the armed forces for a decade or more before they started interacting with extremist beliefs and started joining these movements.
So, is it safe to say that this is not a phenomenon that's connected to experiences in the military? For instance, sometimes there have been people who've served overseas and or served in combat or war zones and had bad experiences, and later this kind of behavior grew out of it. Have you seen anything along those lines?
Yeah, so what's interesting when looking at the kind of the pathways of radicalization that these individuals follow, especially those that radicalize after leaving the military, is that it actually is quite common for military service to play a role in that radicalization process, and especially as you mentioned, past combat experience and any trauma that is potentially related to their service in the United States military. When you look at these pathways of radicalization, they're not all that different than a pathway to self-harm that we see in the veteran community and veteran suicide. So what we see is a very common story among these individuals is they transition out of the armed forces. Perhaps they had some experience with combat and they have some unaddressed PTSD or other mental health concerns. And then they struggle in their transition back to civilian life. So they have a marriage that falls apart. They become estranged from their children. They bounce from job to job and have a hard time finding stable employment. And what that does is it does two things. One is it fuels a grievance narrative that they have. They get upset. They get angry about where they are in their life, and they look for someone or something to blame. And they often find that in a national rhetoric that blames the federal government or blames minority communities or underrepresented populations. And the second thing that they often look for is the structure and the sense of purpose that they had in the military. They want that normalcy back. And groups like the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, who actively try to recruit veterans in, offer that structure, sense of purpose, and camaraderie to those individuals, and they become very appealing outlets for these individuals. So there tends to often be a fairly direct line from their experiences in the military to their eventual radicalization.
Is there any sense that the military has recognized that this sometimes happens and has taken steps to try to address it or mitigate it?
Yeah, so after the events at the Capitol on January 6th, there was a recognition by the Department of Defense that a lot of veterans and service members participated in the riot that day. And so the Secretary of Defense issued a stand down order in which military commanders were supposed to talk to their subordinates about what is and is not permissible in terms of affiliations with extremist groups and movements and ideas. And then he later established the Counter-Extremism Working Group, and their job was to understand the problem and provide a series of recommendations to the DoD for tackling the issue of extremism in the military. And they did do that, and they provided six recommendations. Unfortunately, over the last year or so, we've seen a real loss of momentum around tackling this problem in the DoD, and we've seen some fairly concerted efforts among some members of Congress to try to prevent these efforts from moving forward. So a cohort of Republican Congress members have blocked attempts to give new funding to the DoD to research and understand this problem. They blocked attempts to mandate that the DoD report to Congress about these problems. And now in the current NDAA that they're looking at, they're making attempts to defund what was established post January 6th to address extremism in the US military. So we had a moment of really good momentum of addressing this problem immediately after the Capitol riot, but we've lost a lot of that momentum in the last 18 months or so, largely due to political dynamics in Congress.
Dr. Michael Jensen is the principal investigator for the Profiles of Individual Radicalization in the United States project at the University of Maryland START Center. JJ Green, WTOP News.